Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. We're preaching through the gospel according to John. And one thing that I want to point out about the gospel of John is it records more of the Lord Jesus Christ's first year in public ministry than all the other gospels. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Understand that the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as far as the Lord's first year in public ministry, they cover his baptism and his temptation. And then there's a gap there. Mark covers his baptism and his temptation. There's a gap there. Luke, baptism, temptation, gap there. So we're going to show you that gap for just a minute. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. There is a gap between verse 11 and 12. Time goes by between verse 11 and 12. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. There's a one-year gap, or a gap. Some people say it's a year. Some people say it's a couple months. But there's a time gap between verse 13 and 14. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. There is a gap in between 13 and 14. And note that Matthew and Mark records in that latter verse, it talks about John being put into prison and Jesus going into Galilee, right? Let's go to John chapter 3 now. Verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. So obviously there's something going on in John. It records that some events that goes on into that gap. Now turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. So John chapter 4, 43 picks up at Matthew 4, 12, and Mark 1, 14, and Luke 4, 14. John covers that gap. Everything between John chapter 1, verse 19, and John chapter 4, verse 42, happened in that gap between those two verses on Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm just pointing this out to set the context and let you know what all has happened at that time. Do I know how long that gap was? It was definitely a year or less, but it was long enough for the Lord to turn water into wine it was long enough for the Lord to witness to a man named Nicodemus. It was long enough for him to give hope to a Samaritan woman at the well. So let's go to John chapter 4, verse 43. Just setting the context of what's going on so far. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And he said, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So what I want to point out, the title of this message is Taking God at His Word. Taking God at His Word. Are you taking God at His Word today? Taking God at His Word. In verse 50, it records him believing the Word of God. Jesus said to him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken, and he went his way. Now understand that he remembered the first miracle that the Lord did. He says, I want to see another miracle. Last time Jesus was in Cana, he saw him turn water into wine. And he knew that his son was sick, and he thought, if this man could turn water into wine, he can heal my son. So he believed in seeing that. And so he wanted his son healed. And obviously he believed what the Lord said to him, or otherwise he would have continued to beg him. He believed the Lord and took him at his word. My first point I want to make is, why reason ye among yourselves? Why reason ye among yourselves? Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red, lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. He was talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. He was 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He was talking about their doctrine. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we had taken no bread? That went right over their head, you see. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? My question is, why didn't they just ask him? They were confused at his sayings. Why couldn't they just ask him? And that's what he asked them. Why reason ye among yourselves? And he says, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Many times Christians like to reason among themselves instead of taking God at His Word. They want to know, what does this preacher think about that? What does this theologian think about that? At the end of the day, most of the time, it could be partly right or it could be partly wrong. It could be partly right or it could be partly wrong. A lot of people say, well, what does this commentary say about this? Or what does this book say about that? It doesn't matter what that commentary says if it goes against the words of God. Many people have compromised on the Word of God today. They try to marry the Bible with science, falsely so called. They preach such a thing as theistic evolution. They try to make millions of years into the days of creation. They try to fit that into the Bible, and it ends up being a big contradiction. The Word of God says one thing, and science, falsely so called, says another thing. Now, I'm not against science, but I am against science so-called, and people are starting to look at the Bible through the lens of other sources. And I have a big problem with that. That's where cults begin. The Book of Mormon, for example. They try to look at the Bible through the lens of other opinions, other books, and things of that nature. Theistic evolution is a doctrine straight out of the pits of hell because somebody wants to read the Bible through the lens of another book. We recovered it. Got a little fired up. So there is a danger when you read the Bible through the lens of another book. There's danger when you read the Bible through the lens of anything else. I got some commentaries in my office, and some of them are pretty good. But the best one I got, I would say, probably at best, I agree with maybe 80 to 90% of it. Because I look at that through the lens of this one. You see? It doesn't matter what the greatest preacher says. It doesn't matter what does the theologian says. It doesn't matter if it goes against the Word of God, it's wrong. There are people out there today, and I've had the privilege of visiting a lot of churches in my time of being a Christian. I've visited a lot of churches, and there are people that go to some churches that swear up and down that some of their preachers are, I sometimes wonder if they think that they're the fourth person of the Trinity or something. There are people out there who make an idol out of preachers. I have been in churches where people can quote a preacher that they know more than they can the Scriptures. And really, at the end of the day, it's not the Word of God. And really and truly, it's a bunch of traditional fluff. It's just a bunch of fluff. Why reason ye among yourselves whenever we could just take God at His Word? While I was at one of them churches one time, I was visiting with a friend, and he was a little zealous about a certain preacher. Oh, man, this preacher said this. This preacher said that. did you hear what this preacher said? I mean, it was just every time you talked to the guy, he wanted to quote that preacher. And I like that preacher too. I listen to him on the internet every now and then. Every now and then. He's good, but he ain't that good. And he was going on about this guy one time, and I said, you know, I was listening to one of his sermons the other day, and I don't know about that little point that he made. And he goes, how dare you? He did. He rebuked me for disagreeing with that preacher. Whenever you can open the Word of God and show him where that preacher was wrong. It's just a bunch of traditional fluff. Traditional fluff. Usually, whenever you hear of a movement, become weary of it. Whenever it's a movement started with a name of a man and it ends in ism, it's probably wrong. It's probably a cult. If it starts with a man's name and ends with ism, be wary of it. Be wary of it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. We're in Matthew. Just go back a couple pages. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. My second point is the Word of God has power. The Word of God has power. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus touched a lot of the people he healed, but he didn't touch every person that he healed. We just read in John, he healed a man with his words, right? We're about to read this again. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself unto the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. This is a Roman soldier. Saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You understand that this soldier said, speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus did not touch everybody he healed. He spoke the word sometimes, and it was healed. And he believed the spoken word of God had power. He believed that the spoken word had power. This is a man who knows what an order is. This is a military man. He knows that an order is an order, and whenever he knows that the highest authority is before him, he knows whenever that man orders something, it's going to happen. He knew he was in the presence of a higher authority. He believed the spoken word of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. Mark chapter 4:35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Wow, he's comfortable, ain't he? And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The Lord spoke the word and calmed the storm. Peace be still. Let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Man, where's their faith at? They thought hope was gone. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Jesus, and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house, the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. The word of God has power to raise the dead. Let's go to John chapter 11. Verse 43. John 11:43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. He healed that man with his words, didn't he? My question to you is, why question it? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We know that the Word of God in our hands is God-breathed, right? I believe this, the Word of God has power. The Word of God that we have in our hands has power too. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. My point was the word has power, right? For the word of God is quick and what? Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and with the joints of marrow, and it is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. This Bible's reading you while you're reading it. It will never return void. It will either bring you closer to the Lord, or either you will harden your heart and reject it. It will never return void. The Word of God is powerful. My question is, why reason you among yourselves? Why question it? The Word gives comfort. We read in Mark chapter 4, what did he say? Peace be still. That's words of comfort. Mark chapter 5, he said, be not afraid, only believe. That's words of comfort. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 15. The written word gives comfort. For whatsoever, Romans chapter 14, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the what? Scriptures might have hope. There's comfort in the Word of God. Why are you worried today? Why are you worried? What are you worried about? The Word of God gives comfort. Some of you are worried about bills. Some of you are worried about medical conditions. Some of you are worried about your job. Some of you are worried about any situation that you could think of. But the Word of God gives comfort. There's comfort in going to the Lord in prayer. There's comfort in going to the Lord and reading His Word. What are you worried about? Why do you have so much anxiety? Why? Why worry? The Word of God gives comfort. I'm preaching to myself, y'all. I can be a worrywart too. The Word of God gives comfort. There are times whenever your anxiety can be so high, you can't sit still because you got so many things going on in your mind. You lay in bed, you stare at the fan, watch the fan blades go round and round and round. You can't sleep. Might as well crack open the Word while you're awake and get some comfort. Amen. The Word of God gives comfort. Peace be still. Be not afraid, only believe. The Word of God gives comfort. The Word gives faith. We're in Romans. Let's turn back a couple pages. Most of you can quote it, but since we're so close to the Scripture, let's just turn back a couple pages. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Most people like to pray before reading their Bible, and that's good. I like to pray before going into the Word. That's a good thing. But I would recommend there are times whenever your faith is not strong enough to pray. How many times have you been on your face before the Lord praying, and you think, you have a thought in your mind, think, I don't think God can do this for me. You'll be praying and you're asking the Lord for something and a doubt creeps in your mind and you think, I don't think this is going to happen. You come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. But then the devil gets in your ear and says, he ain't going to help you. That's whenever you need to dust off that Bible and go to the Word. My pastor one time told me, he said, there are lots of times that I will be in prayer and the devil will get in my ear and cause doubts to arise. And I can read something in God's Word. I'll turn to one of the Gospels and I will see how Jesus helps somebody like me. It don't have to be the same situation that I'm going through. I just sometimes need to see that God can help somebody. And there are times in your life whenever you feel hopeless. There are times in your life whenever you will feel depressed. And there are times in your life whenever you will question God. Get in your Word and show, and it will show you how God has helped somebody just like you and me. And then you can approach the throne of grace with boldness. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What's more important, prayer or reading your Bible? Let me answer your question with a question. What's more important, breathing in or breathing out? If you breathe in and you hold your breath too long, you'll suffocate. If you breathe out and never breathe in, you'll suffocate. Both of them is both vital for your faith. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have confidence to pray, then read your Bible, and then you can approach the throne of grace with boldness. Let's go back to John chapter 4. we're going to examine the situation here. John chapter 4, verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You understand, the nobleman had a belief in the signs and wonders because he saw the Lord turn water into wine. He had faith in the miracle, and he wanted to see him do it again. So the nobleman had faith in the miracle. Verse 49, and the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Then the next step was he believed the word. He believed the miracle, then he believed the word. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself, what? Believed, and his whole house. First, he had faith in the miracle. Second, he had faith in the word. Third, he had faith in the person. And you know, that's usually the testimony of a lot of Christians. There are a lot of Christians that I've heard the testimony of, and there was a testimony a man was sharing, and he was sharing a list of testimonies, and I thought that was a wonderful way to have a church service. He had a list, a notebook of testimony after testimony after testimony of people finding an old dusty Bible, reading it, and getting saved. One of the testimonies that was so outstanding was a woman was in a motel room and she was considering ending her life. She opened up a drawer and found a Bible. She began reading it, and it led her to the Lord. Testimony after testimony after testimony of people getting the Word of God and finding the Lord. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you have faith? Do you have comfort? Do you have joy? Do you have power in your life? Why reason ye among yourselves? Go to the very source and get your faith. The Word of God is sure and is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Are you taking God at His Word today? Why are you worried? Why reason you among yourselves? Get in the Word and restore that what is missing. Take God at His Word. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for everyone that's here. I pray that this was helpful to somebody today. Lord, I pray that you're glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Has God spoken to your heart? We're about to give an invitation. Why don't you come?